With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, and she lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. When she gets up while it is still night, and she provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and a faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Now, all of us we're a product of our mother and our father, but in those early years of life, our personality, the way that we think about things, the way that we respond to things, most of those ingredients that make us who we are today, even in an older, much older age, they're a result of our mother. And I would say many of you are in church today as a result of your mother's prayers. And whether your mother is here on earth or in heaven, today is a day that we want to honor them. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, will you please? Ephesians chapter 6. Mothers have always been in the plan of God. They can be a blessing, and mothers can be a curse. Amen. You know, I remember when I was young, my mother and my father worked together to discipline us and correct us, but my mom stayed at home, and so she was, when she was healthy, she was quite the disciplinarian. And she used spoons and spatulas, you know, because her hand, I don't know, something about a mom saying, I'm going to spank you without a spoon, it just didn't put any fear in us. And then when I was 6 years old at a birthday party, I was given a Hot Wheel set. And my mom discovered that Hot Wheel tracks were not just for running cars on. And it took about a year for her to realize it, but when she would pull out the Hot Wheel track to give us a spanking, my brother would go, oh, no. I'd go, no, please, Mom, not the Hot Wheel tracks. She didn't know that she couldn't get any velocity with a Hot Wheel track. She didn't know that a Hot Wheel track didn't hurt at all. And so, you know, we would get in trouble, and we would say, Mom, anything but the Hot Wheel tracks. So she'd break out the Hot Wheel tracks, and we'd have to, you know, we'd put our head and our hands over on the couch, bury our faces, you know, and she'd start smacking us with those Hot Wheel tracks. And then we'd cry, and we'd scream. And One time she caught me and my brother, because we were both getting at the same time, looking at each other laughing. And she found out the Hot Wheel tracks didn't hurt. And she'd been spanking us with the Hot Wheel tracks for about a year. Well, that's when the spoon came out. You know, the wooden spoon? Praise the Lord. I love them Hot Wheel tracks. When we were laughing like we weren't honoring her. We had, you know, we weren't giving her the respect that was really due her. And even though it was funny, I look back on it today and think, you know, I really shouldn't have done that. But it did give me a year of pain-free spankings, amen. The Bible says in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6, children, honor or obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Guys, this is one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your mother and your father. So I want to talk about the word honor this morning. So can you say that for me? Honor? To honor somebody is to lift them above the norm. Everybody say common. If something is common, a commodity would be something that would be common. Bread is a commodity. You know, okay, if you were gonna look at sparkling grape juice that costs $12 a bottle, I'm not talking wine, sparkling grape juice, or water, which one is more common? Water. Would you pour a brand new Dr. Pepper down the drain, Pastor Josh? No. But would you pour half a glass of water that you didn't drink down when you're done? Yeah. What about, would you pour a $5 latte down the drain, or would you save it up and maybe warm it up later? Would you pour just a common coffee that you got out of a big old craft down, if you weren't done with it and there's a quarter left, would you throw it down the drain? Yeah. See, there are things in our life that are common. That just like the air we breathe, it shouldn't be, but it is common. Now, if you get in the middle of a smog-filled city in a third-world nation, you'll appreciate the air that we have here. And Pastor Nijia and I are realizing something about living up here on the hill. When we fill our bathtub, guys, the water is crystal clear with a blue tint to it. It wasn't that way in Ankeny. It wasn't that way in Oklahoma. And in fact, the water in Oklahoma smelled like a bad egg. Yeah, it smelled like that. Because there was gas, some kind of gas in the water that they couldn't get out. Now, up here on the hill, I think it's because the water is coming to the highest point in the city, and the elements and the minerals and the sediments, they don't get pushed up here, but the water is crystal clear. But still, we treat that as common. Now, Pastor Nijia will drink the water up here, but she wouldn't drink the water down in the lower part of the city. So she's elevated it in her mind. But still, we're not going to treat that crystal clear water the same way that we would maybe, like Pastor Josh said, a $5 latte. Have you ever been to a restaurant and it was kind of an expensive restaurant? And instead of letting the food go to the garbage can, you ask for it to go? Huh? Because it's not common. It's a special thing. There are things in this world that are common and things that are not common. Noble and ignoble, it says in the King James. There is in a house, there are vessels made of clay, and there are some vessels made of brass, and it talks about some bowls and containers, vessels made of gold and silver. Now, in your household or in grandma's household, she may have everyday dishes. Do you know what I mean? She may have everyday silverware. Do you know what I mean? But when Christmas or Easter or a family gathering comes, then she breaks out the what? The china. And if my mom, when my dad was in Vietnam before he left, he bought some really nice china. And then he bought this really nice set of silverware that had some gold. I mean, it was silver and gold put together. Now, we would break those things out because they were in a cupboard way up high. Everybody say hi. They were in a cupboard up high. Why were they up high? Because they weren't for everyday use. And when we would get them out, my dad would get on a ladder, a little step stool that he had in the back porch, and he would get up and he would bring them down. Then my mother would wipe them or wash them before we set them on the table. And we were told, guys, that we were to be very, very careful. I mean, we almost had a fear of chipping that china. Do you know what I mean? Because it was not common. We raised it above. We showed it more respect. We treated it differently than we did the everyday dishes. We treated the silverware different. The silverware, when we got older, didn't go into the dishwasher. The silverware and the china never went in the dishwasher. They were all hand washed. And then one of us, three children, were given the assignment of putting them away. And I didn't like doing that because I was always afraid I was going to drop something. So there was something that was for common use, everyday use, and there was something that was for the holidays, and that is a form of honor, to make it uncommon. Are you getting where we're going? To treat it with deference. To treat someone or something differently than we treat everybody else. You know, the Bible says that we are honored to those to whom honor is due. It talks specifically about the leaders in the church and those governing officials. And in this land, we elect our leaders. And in this state, our Governor Branstad is our governor again. Now, he may not be after the next election, but he is our governor right now. And if you call him Terry, come on. If you refer to Governor Branstad as Terry or Branstad, then what that tells me is you're not honoring him. Because you may treat the guy at work, you may say, well, you know Jonesy down the street or Jonesy over in the next cubicle, and his name may be Alfred or whatever. Or, you know, if you're going to show honor, you're going to say Mr. Jones. Because putting the title of Mr. or Mrs. or Governor or Pastor in front of somebody's name differentiates them from the rest. Not only in your eyes, but in anybody's eyes or ears that you're communicating with. So, you know, I have never called my pastor by his first name. I'd say Pastor Bill or Pastor Winston. If I were to say, well, you know, old Bill, then I'm just treating him as common. No, he's not common. He's the one who I'm submitted to spiritually. And so he's the one who I'm going to treat differently. I remember one time, guys, I was raised with this and I didn't know it because my dad was an Air Force guy. And he got into the Air Force at age 16. And I think I was probably 3 or 4 years old when he got out of the Air Force. Matter of fact, I was born in Offutt Air Force Base over in Bellevue, right outside of Omaha. But I remember one time I had a pair of friends over that I met at Bible camp, a church camp, and they were twins. And, oh, we just were having a heyday. How many of you have kids? Can I see your hands? How many of you know when their friends come over, they act a little bit differently, don't they? Sometimes, you know, who they are, you know, they get emboldened. They're encouraged to act differently, a little stronger, maybe a little more, you know. And I was that way when my friends were over. And we were up at the table, and I never will forget this, and I'm not saying this is a good biblical example, but I never called my dad anything but daddy, dad, or father. And we were joking around, and I said, you turkey, wham, next thing I know, I'm looking up at the ceiling. See, I took him from a place of being my father to being my buddy. And I'm not saying that's acceptable today, but it taught me something. If I'm going to communicate with my father, I would call him dad, I would call him daddy, or I would call him father. And to call him something that I would call a buddy, are you getting where I'm going? Brings him down to a common level. Now, I don't understand, and I like the show Duck Dynasty, but they don't call their mother and father by the titles mother and father. They call them Phil and Kay or whatever her name is. Now, I believe in the church, if we're to honor our mother and father, then we should call them mother or father. Or when a mother and father and their kids grow up and then they have babies, maybe you call them Papa. Maybe you call him, we called my mother, Grandma Kearney, Grandma Linhart. Grandpa Kearney, Grandpa Linhart. Those my mother's maiden name was Kearney. We always showed honor by putting a title there. What were we doing? Verbally, we were communicating the deference, the way that we treated them differently. And listen, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Whether it's your pastor, your governor, your president, or your mother, we should speak differently about them than we do other people. Because honoring is a voluntary thing that... Am I helping anybody? I got an uncommon piece of skin on my lip. There. Honoring is something we do by choice. And it is lifting somebody or identifying somebody or something above the norm. And if we don't do that in our heart, it's not going to come out of our mouth. Come on. There are people that have come to church and have left and come to church. Some have stayed. But you know the ones that tend to leave? The ones that will call me by my first name. They tend to leave the quickest because they get offended the easiest. Because they receive the words that I say as only common. And they judge them as only common. Mom, Dad, listen, if your kids are judging your words and constantly judging your judgments, then they're not looking at you as uncommon. They're not elevating you above their own intellect and reason. They're looking at you at their intellect and at their reasoning. They're bringing what you say down to their level. And the Bible very clearly says, this is one of the first commandments, to honor your mother and your father. To honor them. And if you do, now there's a promise that goes along with it. What's the promise? That you would live long and things would go well with you. I don't know about you, but I have been in situations where it seemed like everything that I could do did not work. That I was trying to swim in a current or upstream in a river. And I've also been in situations and circumstances in my life where everything that I did seemed blessed, like it had the Midas touch on it. Do you know what I'm saying? And there are things in the scriptures that I will always go back to see, am I violating these biblical truths so that I'm not being cursed, but I'm not under the blessing of God in these things. And one of the first things that I always check is to be sure that Pastor Neji and I and our household and our ministry are tithing. Why? Because when I tithe, I bring myself underneath the blessing of God. When I give, that's the way that I honor God. Guys, that's where the rubber meets the road. If you're not a tither, then you don't know how to honor God. You may have a place for Him on the shelf along your... In India, when I preach, I preach to hundreds of thousands of Hindus. And it's really easy to get Hindus to receive Jesus. Very easy to get Hindus to receive Jesus. You guys are looking at me like, you know, cross-eyed, like a cow at a new gate. Let me tell you why. Because in India, there's over 1 million gods. And they will worship more than one god. And so after people receive Jesus in our crusades, and after we've taught for 5 days, the last message that I will always preach publicly is you cannot take Jesus and put Him on the shelf with all your other gods. You have to clear off all your other gods and remove them because they are not a god. They are a spirit. But Jesus is King of Kings and Lord. Boy, that's good. I could go preach right now. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you clear off the shelf of all of the common things and you put Jesus, not a statue of Jesus. I'm talking about in their heart. He's not to be placed among the other gods, little g's. Why? Because He's not common. And we honor Him by lifting Him above. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Yes, He was lifted up on the cross. And yes, He drew all of our sin into His body so He could put it to death. But when you lift Him up, when you say exalt, say glorify, say honor. What do these things mean? To exalt means to lift up. To glorify means to give weight to and to give importance to and to give credence to. Now, it happens in your heart first, but when you communicate Lord Jesus, when you communicate it out of your mouth, then you lift him in the eyes of others. You make him bigger, glorify, in the eyes of others. You magnify him. You enlarge the way that he looks in the eyes of others. And that is the secret to true honor. So if you talk about your mother or your father or your pastor or your governor or your president as if they were just mere common men, you understand what I'm trying to say? The way that we honor our mother is to lift her first in our heart and then in the ears and the eyes of others. The way that we treat our mothers, the way that we talk about our mothers, the way that we communicate regarding the things that they decide and the things that they say or the sentences that they pass on our children, that all of that communicates to our children and everybody around us whether or not we honor them. Now, my mother is not without faults. But I love her, and I respect her, and I honor her in the way that I can. I honor her sometimes from a distance. Sometimes I honor her up closely. But she is my mother. And so I have to honor her in my own heart. I don't always understand everything that she says, and I don't always agree with everything that she says. But you know what? Because I honor her, I don't disagree with her to her face. Nor do I disagree with her in front of my children. Come on. And very seldomly will I disagree with her, even to my wife, Nija. Because when I do, I'm not honoring her. I can hold that in my heart, compare it with the Word of God. And that doesn't have to, I do not have to bring my mother down to be right or correct. Does that make sense? Honor will give honor to somebody whom it's due, and being due honor has nothing to do with deserving it. Can I say that again? When the Bible says that we are honored those who to whom honor is due, it has nothing to do with them deserving the honor. Guys, it has nothing to do with feeling like they're special. God raises men up, God raises women up, and he puts his anointing on them to be in that office. And if you honor them in that office, if you honor a mother as a mother, then you're going to receive the reward of a mother. The Bible says if you receive a prophet as a prophet, that you'll receive what? A prophet's reward. What does that mean? What does the prophet give? Anybody know? Prophecy. In other words, you won't hear from the mouth of a prophet the words of God if you don't honor them as a prophet. You won't receive leadership from the leadership we have in this land or in the church if you don't put the people who are in leadership in your heart in those positions of honor. And guys, you could have a mother and never receive all of the wonderful benefits we just read in Proverbs chapter 31. And the long life and the things going well with you if you don't honor her in your heart. How many of you have ever disagreed with your mother? Can I see your hands? Come on, Friday. Yesterday you disagreed. Yeah. Now, if your mother is of foreign descent, like Pastor Nija's mother or Friday's mother, raised in another country, we may find it very difficult to honor our mother or father because they're strong, willed, passionate people. But we're to honor them. Pastor Nija's mother is a blessing. But she can be quirky. Do you know what I mean? Let me give you an example. There are not I'll be careful. There are not boundaries in... Yeah, the Asian culture, there aren't really boundaries there. It's a matriarchal system where mama is in control. Mama governs the house like the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, Pastor Nija's mom lives in Florida. And sometimes she gets it fixed in her mind that we're doing something that she would not approve of. And she had it fixed in her mind that we had all kinds of of things in our pantry, in our refrigerator, that had additives and dangerous chemicals in them. Chemicals is one of her favorite words. Oh, it had chemicals in it. And she had it fixed in her mind, and we picked her up at the airport. And Pastor Nija's mom kind of blew by the kids as they walked through the house and took a garbage can and went, this is, hello, how you doing? Went right to the cupboard, opened it up, and started throwing things in the garbage. Now, Pastor Nija was much better at honoring her in that than I was, because we paid for that stuff. And she just threw it away. And Pastor Nija was like, it's okay, it's okay. We'll put it in a bag, and after she leaves, we'll get it back out. That was honoring her. Where I was like, hey, that's not your cupboard. You didn't, you know, in my house, I had to ask my dad to get in the refrigerator in our house. And somebody who's not part of our house comes in and starts throwing stuff away, you know. I'm like, oh, no, no, she needs corrected. But honor said, no, don't create the confrontation. Let her think that she's okay in doing this. We don't have to let her know we disagree with her. And we can solve this thing by simply not throwing it out, just putting it in the garage and getting it out after she leaves. That's honor. Some of you may think that's deceptive, but that's honoring, not causing the confrontation. Amen? And you could disagree with those in leadership. That's a God-given right. But you honor the leadership. You honor the leadership in your household by not disagreeing one to another about it. You know, you settle that issue in your heart. And when you put a pastor or a mother or a father or a governor or a mayor in the position in your heart of doing that, then you receive the benefits that God established in those offices. Without a mother, there would have never been a Cain or an Abel. Without a mother, there never would have been a Noah. Look at the wisdom that we glean just in Proverbs chapter 31 and what we get in the rest of the book of Proverbs from a mother and a father. But so many of those things were taught when the child was on the mother's knee. I mean, Deacon and Kamara and Joy are still at the age they want to go to mama. Because when we're young and when we're tender, God gave mom that ability to instruct, to discipline, but then also to soothe. When we get older, we may feel pride regarding that. We don't want our mom to smother us or those kind of things. But we have to understand when we're old, we're not to despise our mother. When she's old, we're not to despise her. We're to give her that same kind of honor. Say common. Say my mother is not common. The mother of my children. Come on, the mother of my children, guys. She's not common. We're to honor her. Now, the Bible specifically says, listen, that we are to treat the women as the weaker sex. Women say weaker sex. There's only one woman in here who might be able to outlift Pastor Josh and RJ, and that's Akila. She used to powerlift. But overall, that we are to treat women not as the inferior sex, but as the weaker sex. What does that mean? We're to protect. We're to strengthen. We're to encourage. And we're to defend. And guys, I know that the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. But if somebody came against Pastor Nija and was causing physical damage to her or danger to her, I got to tell you, I'd probably kill him. Because I see that as my God-given right. Just like I better be careful with that because that'd be premeditated, wouldn't it? But I feel the same way about the children that come to this campus. Boy, if anybody ever hurts those children, they're gonna have to hold me back. Because that's something that I am to do. I am to be their protector. I am to cover them. I am to defend them. And guys, we're to do that with the women that are in our lives, especially our mothers and our grandmothers. You know, I don't know any grandma that might be able to beat RJ, but not Josh in an arm wrestling match. I don't know very many women that are past 50 that have a whole lot of upper body strength. weaker. Not less than, not inferior, weaker. Can I say that? You guys, can you accept that? I think we're making a big mistake in this nation. And I think time will tell. We know when we go to heaven, we'll see it. But we're allowing women to be on the front lines in our armies and in our services. I just don't think that's right. I think they should be. I don't think that there's anything wrong with a woman being in the military. But come on, man, let's put them back here where we can protect them. Let's put a layer of defense between the women that are serving in our armed forces and the enemy's fire. It should be the guy who takes the bullet, not her, huh? I'm not talking about women's rights and those kind of things. I think. But I do know the Bible says that they are the weaker sex. Part of honoring is honoring somebody. Everybody say honor. Knowing their weaknesses. We tend to have a problem honoring somebody when we see their humanity. When we see their emotional, what's this called? Swing. We can see the weakness and still honor. We can see the parts of a person who is in an office of a mother or a father or a governor or a pastor or a mayor. And once we see the weakness, see, then we have to deal with our own weakness. And can we still honor that person? Boy, if you've been raised in a household where your mom stayed home or where you see your mom every night and every morning, you can know her weaknesses, can't you? You know what sets her off. You know the tendencies that she may have to discipline a little harshly in this area or to let anger come through. Do you know what I'm talking about? But we still have to make that decision to honor them. We see honor is voluntary. When you make somebody submit, it's not submission. Submission is something that we do willingly in our heart. Let's go back to the scripture and read this one more time. Children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, kids, look at me. Obey your parents. What did they say? What did I say? Obey. Do, deacon, stop that. Do what your mother and your father tell you to do. Do what your mother and your father tell you to do. Now, the Bible says it's the willing, kids, listen, it's the willing and the obedient who eat the good of the land. What, the Bible says that it's those who do what their mother and father tells them to do, but doing it with a willing heart that the blessing comes upon. It's one thing for your mom and dad to tell you to clean your room and then 10 minutes later say, I told you to clean your room. And then you say, and you stomp off and then you go clean your room. But you don't do it really well. You know, you just stuff things underneath your bed, Caleb. You lift up the pillow and you put toys underneath there. And instead of folding your clothes and putting it in the dresser, you just open up the drawer and you wad them up and then you stuff them in. Do you know what I'm saying? And then you go, there, it's done. And you go back to the TV or you go back to your video game. Well, you were obedient, but you weren't willing. What does that mean? Willing means that you make yourself want to do it. And maybe you don't want to stop. Listen to me, deacon. Maybe you don't want to stop playing your Kindle. Maybe you don't want to stop watching the TV. Maybe you don't want to put it on pause. We didn't have pause when I was a kid. But when you become willing, you get down in your heart here and you say, well, the Bible says that I'm supposed to do it and I'm supposed to do it with a willing heart. And if you do, then guess what? Everything will go better for you. It won't be frustrating for you. There's an anointing. There's an ability from God you can grab a hold of by faith to do the thing and enjoy doing it. And if you're an employee, if you're working for somebody, or if you're serving at the church, it's the same truth. The willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. Just doing it isn't God's best. Doing it by putting yourself in subjection, here's how you do it. By honoring that person's choice, that person's decision, what that person said. You put it above your own desires. That's what submission is. And then you say, God, help me to do this with a willing heart. Sometimes, you know, instead of like this, Quentin, instead of doing it like this, okay, if I have to. You go, yeah, I'll do it, Mom. And you go do it, and you put a smile on your face even though you don't feel like smiling. Do you know what I mean? And you got a good smile. And when you smile, see, the whole room brightens up. But when you go, eh, Camara, when you go, eh, huh, and that brings Mom's heart down and Dad's heart down. But when you do it with a willing heart, guess what? There's something on the inside of you that comes from God that gives you not just the ability, the strength, the power to do it, but you do it excellently and you do it well. So just doing it isn't God's best, is it? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 that their children, or her children, will rise up and call her what? Blessed. Blessed means empowered and strengthened to do things in a godly way, multiplying the effect over and above and beyond what she is able to do. And I got to tell you, I watch Pastor Nija every day. She's blessed. You know, she takes care of 6 kids better than I've seen some mothers take care of 1 and 2. She corrals them. She gets them motivated. She keeps them fed. She keeps them clean. She keeps the house in a decent order. She's blessed. Now, the full blessing rises or comes when the children rise up in the morning. Hey, and the first thought in their mind is, I wonder where Mom's at. I can't wait to see Mom. And my little ones do that still. They know that she's blessed. They know that their comfort comes from God through their mom. The direction for their life and the decisions that may be too difficult for where they're at in their life, they come through their mother from God. So, you know, one of the best things that you can do is rise up in the morning and say, my mom's blessed. That can be prophetic in her life. And maybe you don't see the blessing in her life today, but listen, you're in church today most likely because of your mother or your grandmother's prayers. They made a difference in your life, and when you rise up and you call your mom blessed, listen, it's a selfish thing to it too. When you do that, then you are honoring her in your own heart. It'll flow out of your mouth, and life will begin to go better for you, and you're promised not a short life. Not that you're going to get hit with sudden disaster or calamity. You're not promised that you're going to walk across the street and you never know when the end's going to come. You're promised a long life. With long life, He will satisfy you. Praise the Lord. Everybody say honor. Say, I will honor God. I will honor the political offices in this land. I will honor my mother and my father. I will lift up. I will say good things. I will do things willingly and obediently because I honor. I honor. Praise the Lord. Let's honor our mothers this morning again. All the moms that are in the house, would you stand up? Wow. Multiplied. Breast down, shaking together. You know, moms sow things that dads wouldn't even imagine. You know, Pastor Nija, it still bugs me because my household was different, but, you know, if there is a really nice piece of meat on her plate, she'll cut it up and give it to the kids, and then she'll take the ugly piece of meat, you know what I mean? There are things that moms sow that guys, we have no idea about. So we're going to bless them right now. We're going to pray over them. We're going to ask God to cause all of the seed sown, all the prayers that they've spoken to be multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and to come back on them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you see somebody near you, children, put your hand on your mom because we're going to pray. If there's somebody next to you who their children in here, if you're the father, put your hand on her. Let's put our hands on moms today. We're going to honor them. Praise the Lord. There you go. Amen. See, that blessing is tangible. There's a tangibleness to it. Amen. We're also going to speak to our mothers who may not be present. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor our mothers this morning. We honor the mother of our children. Lord, we do what is befitting in your house and we lift them up to you. Cause every prayer that they've prayed for their children and their grandchildren to be answered, snatching some from the pit of hell and bringing them into the church. Cause every toilsome laborious thing that they have done for the sake of their family and their children, for the seed of that to be multiplied right now. Pressed down and shaken together and running over, cause multiplication to come into our mothers' lives. Spirit, soul, and body. Cause the desire of their heart for their children to be excellent in everything they do, to be seen as abnormally above the rest. Cause that favor to be released in their children's lives and in their children's children's lives, and Lord, especially in their life. Thank you for our mothers. And for those that are not here this morning as well, Father, we release this blessing into their lives as we speak their name. Mother, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Moms, be empowered and strengthened to continue to serve in that godly office as the caretaker of the home, of the family, of the children, as the comforter, even the disciplinary office, Lord. We thank you for the anointing to bring a sting in that spanking, to cause, to lodge a gap of knowledge in the memory of that child. And thank you, Lord, that their children will never reject them, will never despise them, but when their children grow old, they'll return to them and call them blessed. And this morning, we call our mothers blessed. 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 By God Most High. Favor goes before them, and in the eyes of men, they're seen as holy. A woman who loves you, who serves you, who says, as Mary did, let it be unto me, just as your word says. Thank you, Father, that our families are not broken apart, but they're joined together. And Lord, we speak forth to our mother-in-laws to be blessed. Our mothers to be blessed. Our grandmothers to be blessed. And moms who are having and are going to have babies soon, blessing be upon them. In Jesus' name, we speak it. Everybody say, blessed in Jesus' name. Now give those mothers that are standing right here a hand clap. And we can call it praise because the Bible says to praise your mother.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.